This is Kenya, the number one opera in the world, according to Foreign. You're watching Foreign Channel, also known as the number one existent fan in the world.
Something that helped me keep going during the online era, which is obviously difficult for us all to navigate, we didn't know how long it would last, was of course my daily gamer subs, wasn't it? The delicious, sugar-free, not chemically flavoured, nice little pick-me-up energy boost, has a nice smooth release, and chill taper off at the end. The flavours aren't obnoxious, obviously you want to make them stronger, just put less water in. If you want to make them weaker, just enjoy them like almost like a vitamin water style type thing, a vitamin well, just put more water in, does what it says on the pack, brilliant. Also, you only need like that much for a portion, you get 100 in a tub that size, and you can get 10% off with the code THORIN, THORIN at gamersups.gg. It's basically just the shit in it. So when we came and had this whole online period, which now realistically, I think you have to class as, it's after kind of it's 2020, so we're talking in the spring of 2020, through to Cologne. 2021 was the first big like LAN, even though it was a studio LAN. So let's say what, 15 months, 16 months, something like that, over a year, closing in on a year and a half. Doesn't sound that long, right? People have very long careers. But here's the thing. The impact it had on legendary pros and great players who are not at their absolute individual peak right now was ridiculous. It basically was, hence why I called everything an online calling. What happened was, online play is all that mattered. And if you weren't amazing online and in very set circumstances, like sometimes just the online qualifiers, you're a dignitas or something, you aren't in all the big tournaments. You have to get there through qualifying. If you aren't better individually in that particular setting, it was treated as if that's all that exists, so you're an inferior player now, you can't cut it, and you'll never be good ever again. The implication was, even if LAN comes back, because a lot of these names didn't get extra chances later, and people didn't gamble on them, that they'd be able to regain their form, even when the players instead they replaced them with, or chose instead of them, or pushed them out of the way to bring forward, haven't been able to perform on LAN, have yet to do it on LAN, are way worse on LAN. Some of them are as bad on LAN as the legend was online. And the legend had the upside of the marketing, the history. He obviously has all these like veteran smarts on LAN. He knows all these extra things. That was never accounted for, it seems like. Most people, they hung on to some of them for a long time. But as soon as the first dog let you go, most of them were just tossed to the side. And a lot of these great names are just off in the wilderness. Like, you have to sort of go and search through wikis and websites just to find if they're playing, who they're playing with, and where they're playing. So let's go with a couple of massive names, right? Two people who obviously are in the greatest team of all time, until Astralis, would be the Flusher and JW of Fnatic, right? Flusher and JW of Fnatic. So let's be real. These guys were still in one of the best LAN teams in the world right when we went online. They'd had all those top four finishes, amazing placings, won a massive competition in DreamHack Malmö. This is the period where you look at their careers, like Flusher was becoming, like, again, even more of a supportive element. JW was just your streaky, but sometimes good AWPer. They could have played not only with Golden and Brolan, who I think on LAN would still have been totally fine, but you just bring in one other player, could have been someone like a Rez later or a Hampers or any of these guys. There's a world where this could have been a team that kept running for 2 or 3 years on LAN. If there'd been no online era, I think they have 2 or 3 more years until they have to fully wind down. Even then, there might be the Dignitas Tier 2, Tier 3 type teams you could have played for beyond that. And you could still be playing now and you could have done so much in those years. The problem is, they're probably the players who had the worst drop-off in terms of stylistic counter. What they do online, the problem is, that just doesn't work because everyone else is doing it. That's what all the people in the online qualifiers are doing. All those crazy Russian players and people from countries you never heard of and player people who are just 16 and have no fear online and just run through a smoke because it's just round 4 of an online qualifier. They haven't even done anything yet. They're not at LAN. They're not looking at the person. The problem is, Flusher and JW did some of that stuff on LAN in big semi-finals and finals when even some of the greatest players in the world tighten up, play a bit more safe, play by the book, don't take like crazy gambles all the place. So their style worked against them because everyone online plays like that. And famously, that's basically what everyone always complained about with online play is that the GG players of the world are better than Na'Vi if you went online. Also, you'd go online and you'd see these teams and styles where it's like, that'd never work on LAN, or you'd just immediately get figured out on LAN. But online, it'd work all the time. Or if you have 100 of those teams, eventually one of them's going to get you. So I think you look at their style that used to be amazing offline. It just couldn't work online, and that made people just go with worthless players and kick them out, right? Now, true, they also had the fact that because now people only looked at their current form and ignored everything else they brought to the table, they then had very limited options because they're Swedish. They had to be in a Swedish team in theory, right? Well, not getting in a Nip. Nip doesn't want them at that point in time. They've gone young. Fnatic themselves have booted them out eventually. And then they have to go, what? Make their own org or do something else, right? These guys also, if this was still LAN and we'd gone to that period and Fnatic kicks you out, you're going to get a spot on another team. You're going to go to some other squad. You maybe even a team like a Heroic might even have broken up being Danish to let you come in at that point because you're a legendary player. You can bring veteran experience to their team, shore it up, even maybe absolutely the odd pop-off tournament a la Reign now. Like, these guys would have been shoo-ins to be playing at the top level still. But what do you know, online form killed them, right? You then look that while the JWs and the Flushers are never getting near a LAN, they're never getting a sniff of the LAN where they basically made their names. Basically, LAN semi-finals were like JW and Flushers' office, mate. This is where they used to operate, and that is where they have tuned their game to be the best, but they cannot play there. Meanwhile, the Heroic and Gambit players that reached number one online have all been pissing away a million playoff series and tournaments and never going as far as they should and rarely ever winning championships and always slightly underwhelming, never quite bringing the big game that you should, not doing all these amazing things that we're doing online as much offline because they haven't got there yet. Probably going to take them a couple more years. Hence why, if there'd been no online period, these guys would have gradually come up and the other ones would have gradually gone down. Instead, we just cut out the legs and tossed out the old guys, like almost like old Indian tribes where they just send them into exile to die in the fucking wilderness. And we just brought in the young guys. And in this scenario, it's almost like where you get some 17-year-old recruit in World War, just chuck him a rifle. Like, there you go, you're a soldier. You're in the fight now. Like, what am I doing? Like, that's not a veteran guy. That guy doesn't know what he's doing. He might just die instantly. Like, that's the world we've created in CS because of the online calling. That's why, actually, I think the first online period, the latter part of last year, autumn into winter, was whack. It sucked. It was just Na'Vi dominating everyone, a bunch of broken teams with really sick individual players popping off. And then all these like messed up lineups of onliners doing terribly on LAN, or people not having transitioned yet, or not having the nerves yet, or the experience yet to make it deep in the tournament. And then all these underdog teams, just because the Whitfield's open, having one-off runs, but who really cares? And are they actually any good? Who even knows? Then you think of people like Kenny S and Guardian. These were like the two greatest AWPers of all time. Kenny S wasn't even in that bad a position when we came to online. He was still like a solid player in G2 and one of their stars. These two players are both irrelevant now. The idea that people like Son Pius, the Spanish player Hades, the Polish AWPer, the idea these guys would be competing at Tier 1 and a whole bunch of LANs and majors, but Kenius and Guardian wouldn't, that's an absurd concept. There's just no universe. And I purposely picked Son Pius and Hades because they're getting in international teams, boys. But these guys can't ever again ever play an international team. They're just done forever because of some online games. I don't know about that, mate. I don't know about that. I still think a tier one LAN AWPer is the biggest mismatch in the game. I think the people who have the quality to do it like that are worth their weight in gold. And these are players where, even if they have a bad 3 months, you gamble that they're going to get it back because they're so good and their ability to do stuff on LAN with that weapon is unparalleled, except in the modern day for the Simples and the Zwoos. Then you consider some of the IGLs. How about these names? How about MSL, Snappy, Golden, Alex? Before we went online, three of those names were all big-time names. Like, Golden and Alex were in the Vitality and the Fnatic teams that have been some of the best in the world. These were top IGLs. Snappy, admittedly, was somewhat off in the wilderness, trying to find his way again. He was in that Heroic squad, but they were more of like a DreamHack Open slash finished ninth place at a real LAN team. So it was like, that was okay. And then MSL wasn't in a great spot in terms of his career overall, but obviously he wasn't that far removed from winning DreamHack Stockholm and all the stuff of the past years. And so probably would have had a number of chances instead of the Cadians of the world who took his spot, basically. These guys, essentially, that name of list of names, minus Snappy, have almost entirely been pushed out. Golden's just irrelevant. He's off, gone completely. Snappy got lucky that contact into end. Somehow they took a gamble. It worked out. Then you had, obviously, MSL's on the Titans team now, but, like, is that actually even any good? No one knows yet. Is it going to go anywhere? Alex, in theory, was with Fnatic, but he didn't get many LANs, and obviously the Cloud9 online period sort of killed his hype. He was one of the best IGLs in the world with Vitality prior to that, even a few months before we went online. So instead, who else have we had during this period of LANs being the IGLs in the big matches, the important ones? We've had Cadian, who was irrelevant compared to an MSL back in the day. We've had Apex. Apex wasn't even ever going to be an IGL. We've had Nexa. Nexa was in a major final during the time period. These guys are all just sat at home watching like the rest of us on Twitch. This is wild. It's not that these players are bad. It's that, look at how crazy the way we're treating like the current generation, the old generation, and we're only counting on live form and then acting like land form is supposed to instantly be good. Think how these players all fell off. But as far as I can tell, would all have at least been decent, if not good, or in some cases very good on land. Electronic becomes like just an alright player online. Online, he's one of the best players in the world. A mega fucking land vet. Rain, online's just nobody. That's why FaZe was irrelevant. But you put him on land, give him the one big land where he's popping off, he can be the MVP of the land. He would have been fired if he just kept with the old FaZe team, probably. After all, if he'd have been next on the chopping block. How about Woxic? He's never returned properly now. He was a monster in 2019 when he was with Mouse. He's a guy you'd want to tear up some of these CT sides that look impregnable. Carrigan himself as an IGL, beyond the beginning of the online era, it was only Cold Zero and them asking him to come in the FaZe and people like Twists believing him. They got him his slot again, otherwise he'd have been off just in some secondary team. He'd have been in like the MSL type scenario maybe, or a snappy on a smaller squad. Imagine Ents had to have Carrigan, it'd be great for Ents, not really for Carrigan necessarily. Flusher is obviously one of the all-time greatest major players. He's never going to get to play another major probably, so it seems. That's the state of things. So the problem with the online play is simple. There was the notion, the general sentiment, like, this is important, this is significant. And it was. That's the problem. But the issue is, just because it was, because it was the only Counter-Strike we could play, we've got to keep the scene moving, doesn't mean all those problems didn't exist. Doesn't mean it was great. Doesn't mean it was anything like LAN. We had all those problems. It sucked playing online CS. It was nothing like LAN. The problem was people conflated the two things. This is Counter-Strike now. This is important now. This is significant now. Therefore, it's the only thing that ever matters. There's never going to be LAN again. We should never think of LAN. We should never plan for LAN. We should never manage our team around if LAN's going back. We should never look what a player brought on LAN in competition, in big matches. We should only judge right now in today's online match, this BO1, this BO3, this online bracket. How did he do today? That's all that matters as a Counter-Strike player. That's what we did to these Counter-Strike pros who put their lives into this game. Even though when they're playing online, there's no pressure to the same degree. There's no crowd. Not one that's visible having an impact on you. The environment's different of being in a different place, different setup, studio, might be cold, might be noisy, might be quiet, might be dark, might be light. All sorts of things you have to acclimatise. Now you don't have to do any of that stuff. And because that was all taken away from the players and the teams, you made this weird artificial environment, which is online play, and then you treated it like it was LAN. This reminds me of what happened in the NBA in the bubble. There's a reason why people think the bubble championship isn't legit and some of those results are BS. Because some of those players wouldn't have shot that free throw the same way with all the crowd doing the thunder sticks behind them. Some of those guys wouldn't have made that game winner with a massive crowd. And this is the playoffs and I'm in that stadium. They just wouldn't have. If you know the game and you followed it long enough, you know who I'm talking about. And you know who benefited. Like, practice in the NBA is the same story. You take away all the other factors and just have them practice in an empty gym. There's people who can make, like, 20 threes in a row. They don't even get in the game, and they make 1 3 a game or 0.43 a game in their average for their career to different environment. But this is like if you went and got, like, Ray Allen at the end of his career. Like, ah, oh, you're fired, Ray. You're too old, mate. You can't really be good enough for... Oh, this random guy made 23s in a scrimmage. Get him in there. Sign him to a big deal. And then you find out he can't make him with the game. And he's wrecked and he hasn't got the experience. He doesn't know how to work in the modern game. And the environment messes with him. The veteran edge was treated as if it was irrelevant for the first time in history. And the worst thing is, it's not just that it boosted the players who haven't done it yet, as if they had. But it fucks the RPKs of the world. The reason why RPK could hang on extra years is because he is so knowledgeable. Because he is so comfortable playing these big line matches. Because he has played all these different roles with different teammates. Because he's been seen and done it all. You can't bring in a Kyojin who has better aim than him now and have him be better than him. You can't bring in Masuta who has better aim as a younger player more ahead of it and think he's just going to slot in and then go in a LAN final and carry it or win you a major. It ain't going to happen. With an RPK, it wasn't impossible he could contribute and do that. That was plausible. I would even say, you add in, the worst part is that you were tossing aside these stars based on only what they do online. Not what they do offline. It doesn't matter how good they were offline. Now, what's wild is, I know we didn't know how long it would all last. We didn't know if it was another year, 2 years. Do we ever come back to LAN? No one really knew, right? But even so, to me, my problem is this. When you toss them away for what people could do online, but you didn't care what they did offline, you didn't care that they might be years away from being good offline, you didn't care that they might never be good offline, and you're gambling versus it's KDS, RPK, Flusher, MSL, whatever, whoever, Rain, all these people. Nah, ignore them. Get them out of here. There's no guarantee, guys. that when you take out Kenius and Guardian, that Hades or Orsi or sometimes ever reach Kenius and Guardian's level. But it's not impossible Kenius and Guardian do. Are they totally done? You'll all tell me they are. I'm bored of the eye test of fools. Basically, most of the industry, most of the players, most of the fans. You can have your own opinion. Type it in the comments section below. Have an argument with each other, like each other's things, up like that. Well, do what you want, but mate, I don't care. I've seen enough of this game to know. I think it's silly. That's why I think the general manager's really messed up the online period. In my opinion, Kenny S is the prime example. I would have kept him on my bench like that. But once I noticed he just doesn't have an online player and his motivation is sapped, I'd go to a player like that and I'd tell him something like, right, we're going to restructure your contract because he was on a mega contract. He's not going to get a better offer elsewhere. I'd say, here's what we do. Let's make a deal. We'll restructure your contract. So essentially, your bench slash furloughed, I'm going to pay you, say, like half your salary or something. Maybe you do some media stuff. You can get some more. It's a week. You can negotiate. It's the point. I'm going to furlough you. I'm just going to sit you out for 3 months or whatever. Once I see lands are starting to come back, I activate you. Green light you, right? Come back. Start practicing with the team every now and then. Play a whole bunch online. Get your 3 months of FPL in. Try you at the first lands. If you start to show some form, we can reintegrate you into the team. And there we go. Either the young guy beats you out legit on land and you get that spot, or you prove that he's still worth it. You can bring him back in. You never had to lose him to a rival team. You still kept him around. You could still get online results with the other guy. There's so many ways we could have approached this, but no one did. So instead, what we did is we just punished these old players, and we took the players that had no LAN experience, have never done it, and because it wasn't LANs, we just said, doesn't matter, mate. You're a top player. You're already the best. You can dart. You might be the top five player in the world. Oh, Gambit, you're the best team in the world. Cadian, you're better than Astralis, mate. You're outplacing them. What does Glaive know about the game? What are we doing, guys? That's what we did to the history of our game. And I get that we had to look at online results at the time. People had to make business decisions in the short term around some online results. But there was potentially other ways. And I think it was so, so short-sighted. And I hope in the next couple of years, one or two of these names gets rehabilitated, a la a Carrigan, a Rain, a Snappy. And you actually see, we really potentially threw away a part of people's generations, not just because we were forced to play with ping over the internet. This video was kindly supported by Kill Your Inner Loser, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Paul Villa, Travis Goff, Adam Oaks, Animosity, Bot Pounder 420, Hades, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Pacey, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my shows? Would you like to ask a question in my Patreon AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the next Reflections guests are or upcoming talk show guests. Do you want to take part in one of those long donator discussions with me? Well, if any of the above or more sound interesting to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.